Hi, we are Ellen and Lauren. We are sisters, wives, mothers, veterans, and all-around DIYers living our best lives. Our families each have three kids between 4 and 18 years old.
On this podcast, we hope to help you learn to do what you can, where you are, and try not to sweat the rest. If you want to learn more about what we're discussing today, check out our show notes at wifestylehustle.com. You're listening to Wifestyle Hustle.
I know I've had some trouble in the past letting go of things I do for the kids. It's hard to let them learn how to do things on their own, and it's hard to know when is the right moment to let go. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about teaching and encouraging our kids to be more independent. This is a tough topic for me because with each successive child in line at our house, the margins have gotten shorter. With the first child, I let lots of things go way too long. For example, I kept on grinding up her food when she was a baby until, okay, I'm not going to say how long it was because it's just embarrassing, but it was way too long. And then with my second child, I don't think I stopped grinding it too soon. But with the third, I didn't even grind her food up at all. I just cut whatever we were eating into teeny tiny pieces and put it on her tray and just hope for the best. Didn't even use a plate.
I don't feel like we know with the first kid what they're capable of. It's like
exactly.
They hand you this baby blob at the hospital and they expect you to just kind of know what to do. Well, I didn't.
There's no instruction manual. I'm outraged.
No. And you just don't know. You don't know. I mean, if they don't have any teeth, they still need their food all ground up, don't they? Well, no.
No, they actually. They're just gumming that stuff right on down.
And, you know, it's a lot in a lot of areas. I feel like it's like this. That first kid is like your experiment. Let's see how this goes. Oh, no, that was bad. Oh, we shouldn't have done it like that. With the next one, we'll do better. And by the third one, you don't even cut up their food. You just hand them whole hot dogs and they'll be fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what my husband pointed out, too, because he's got three. There's three siblings in his family. And for his first birthday, his mother was like, I don't know. Should he have cake? There's so much sugar in there. And by the time that his sister had her first birthday, she was like gnawing on a chicken leg at her birthday party. So yeah, things definitely change. And not always for the better. I've definitely, I remember squishing my son into my daughter's nap time probably before he was ready.
Because I did that too. Yep.
Because I needed nap time. Their naps were, they were planned every other hour or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they were never down together.
Yeah.
No, that just didn't work for me. So by the time he was 3 months old, I had squeezed him into her nap time.
Yep. I did the same thing. I cannot have a morning nap and a late afternoon nap and then a more middle of the afternoon nap for my older one. Nope. Everybody's taking the same nap.
My whole day is ruined when you do that. All right. So encouraging responsibility is where I'm at as a parent. I try and get them. I'm just going to say it because I'm that person and you all know that. I try and get them on a routine for their day, and that's how I encourage their responsibility. And I just add stuff onto their routine so that it becomes ingrained. You know, okay, we get up, we get dressed, we brush our teeth. These are the things that we do first thing in the morning, and it's part of the routine. That's my best encouragement of responsibility. And the pets, taking care of the pets is, it's a big responsibility. Like, you're keeping this other creature alive. So that's been a really good one for us too.
Yep. And we do a lot the same. We also have, and I'm mostly talking about my youngest. Honestly, if my 16 and 18 year old haven't figured out independence over their own spaces and, you know, lives yet, they're doomed, I guess. But for our youngest, we encourage her to take ownership over her own spaces. So before this good thing can happen, we have to clean up this other thing that we finished. So before we can read a book, we have to clean up this puzzle. Or, you know, before we can have our snack, we got to clean up these Barbies. And I think for her, that shows her that she has to take responsibility for her own spaces. And of course, for her, her space is my space too, because she does most of her playing down in our living room. So I actually babysit that area pretty closely because I can't stand stuff all over the floor in there. So we clean that area up several times a day. And for her, that is a good ownership over her own things and her own space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm ashamed to admit that I'm not really instilling a lot of responsibility in our baby yet. I mean, and just in the idea that I'm still calling a four-year-old a baby is enough to...
I wasn't going to point that out.
Yeah, it's enough to let you know where she is. But she she has her routine, and her evening routine is way better than the morning one. Like, she, maybe because we're more excited about the evening routine. All right, it's time for bed. But but yeah, she, you know, has her habits. She puts her dishes in the dishwasher, and, but she isn't getting to chores really yet. Just cleaning up after her own self.
Mm-hmm.
Which, honestly, her brother and sister do about half the time. They want to hurry up and get a cookie for dessert. They want to hurry up and hear a book. So, yeah. We need to work
that
on that.
That makes sense to me.
I know. And they're faster. So, yeah. So, how do you promote decision-making skills? And more importantly, how did you promote decision-making skills in your, say, 8 and 9 year old when they were 8 and 9? Just as an example. I have an 8 and 9 year old.
For instance, my kids, when they were in the, when they were 8 and 9, they either made some money or received money for birthdays and whatnot. And so one of the ways that we would help them make good decisions was good, making good financial decisions. So we, they would think about what maybe they wanted to purchase with it. And then we would maybe explore the internet together and try and decide what would be a good financial investment for them. What would be the most fun? Would it be more fun to just buy a, you know, plain old stuffed animal, or would it be more fun to get a Lego set for yourself that you can play with over and over again? You know what side I came down on. We had so many stuffed animals.
Mm-hmm.
So for them, that was one of the way that we helped them to make good decisions. And it was mostly just talking through it and helping them to make good choices.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Having those discussions that sometimes start kind of at bedtime, but as much as it can be annoying sometimes to have your kids try and kill time at bedtime by talking, it is the best time to try and get through to them some of these more serious points about,
mm-hmm.
because they actually are listening. There's nothing else going on when you're talking to them in their bed. And they want the conversation to continue because it means they get to stay awake for another few minutes. So with that goal in mind, it could happen that you have some very good conversations at bedtime.
Completely agree. It is the best time to really have connection with your kids. I loved that, not just the after act, you know, after bedtime is over. I loved the act of bedtime when my big kids were little. Honestly, we're not really doing as much with that with our youngest yet, but that time will come. More right now, it kind of is, we read books and we go to bed. There isn't a lot of deep conversation yet with her.
Well, it doesn't happen as much with our daughter because she'll have a deep conversation anytime. Like anytime that you can get her alone, you can talk to her. Like, and she doesn't want to run off and go do something else. She's invested in the conversation. But my youngest doesn't really get that yet. I mean, we both have 4-year-olds. She's not trying to get real deep with anything. And it's not hard to get her opinion out of her either. She pretty much shares it all the time. So yeah, we're not really doing that at bedtime either. But with my son, he is so energetic and all over the place all the time that the best time to talk to him is right at bedtime because he's laying down. He's not allowed to get up and, you know, run off. And he has his eye on the prize. I'm staying awake for another few minutes. So he shares a lot more than he normally would. And he just talks more. So it's good.
Yep. That was always my favorite time of the day with when I was putting my big kids to bed because they both just loved that interaction at that time. And they were so open. And because they were a little bit tired, they were more open and more willing to talk. And it's a good time of day. I loved it. So something important about helping your kids to foster their own independence is helping them to build their self-esteem. Being able to know that they can do things on their own is half the battle. Mm-hmm. And not necessarily brushing your teeth or, you know, like really independent stuff. I know that your kids go out and take care of your chickens every day.
Yeah.
And that was one of my big kids' jobs too, when they were younger. And at first they were afraid that they wouldn't be able to do it or that they were going to do something wrong or hurt them or, you know, anything. And helping them to realize that you are capable of handling this responsibility. And it is, it's a responsibility to take care of another creature. I thought was so important for them and helping them to build that self-esteem, going out there with them the first few times so that they knew what to do, collecting the eggs and making sure that they had fresh water and making sure their feeder was full, all that stuff was important in helping them to build that confidence.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think with the other chores, with besides the chicken chores, because that really does kind of have to be done exactly right, but with things that don't necessarily have to be exactly right, words of encouragement should come before criticism. So, for example, today I sent my son in to clean our disaster of a bathroom, knowing that I was probably going to have to do a little bit after he was done. And instead of saying anything bad, well, actually, that's not true. Ellen was on the phone at the time, so she knows I'm fibbing. I say I didn't say anything bad because I did send him back to keep going once. Because all he did was clean like one piece. So I was like, okay, so clean this and this and this. And, you know, I pointed out I was really specific. And when he was done that time, I said, good job. And I was like, okay, I'm going to use the bathroom now. And I closed the door and finished the job. But being able to let go of the absolute perfect, you know, idea of clean is, it's a really great place for a parent to be when their kid first starts doing a chore.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess yep. what you say even after a while.
We've talked about that a little bit in the mm-hmm. past, that you kind of have to let go of your idea of a job well done. Mm-hmm. Because I bring many more years experience to my bathroom cleaning. So I have to allow for them to learn to do it better.
Right.
And honestly, still to this day, unless I clean the bathroom, honestly, it's not done right. I take that back. My husband actually does a better job than I do cleaning the bathroom. But the kids, it's not that they can't, they don't have the same level of care as I do. It's just the way that it is. And I have to accept their level of
care. To go off on a tangent really quick, I found that when I moved out of my parents' house and stopped cleaning their things and started cleaning my things is when things changed for me. Like, I got better at doing all of the things than I think I was when I still lived with my parents. Maybe not immediately. Maybe not the very first place I lived. But but I remember moving into our house and feeling like a love for it and wanting to take care of it. And excitement, I guess, over it. And it made me behave differently towards it than I did my parents' stuff. Because that stuff wasn't my stuff. It was their stuff. I was being mm-hmm. forced to clean.
Even though I made the mess, honestly.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, let's just be clear there.
Yes, completely agree. And I think that that is probably the same with most people. I mm-hmm. don't, honestly, until we owned a house, that's when it changed for me.
Yeah.
We rented a number of places before we owned, and I cared about it. And of course I kept it clean, but I didn't have that same level of care until it was mm-hmm. actually mine.
Yeah. That love almost, I don't know if I want to say love, but very caring. The way that you feel about your house, your own house, yep. something that really belongs to you.
Yep. All right, off the tangent and back on this.
Mm-hmm. Modeling the behavior, I think, is really important. I just wish I was better at it. We were just talking about how we loved our homes, and here I sit amidst the mess. Back to the bathroom cleaning, like just showing them what it looks like or how you think it should look. Or with the chicken taken care of, you know, give them a list of things that they need to do. Check the water, check the food, check for eggs. It's pretty easy. But they have to be told.
Right. And I also think modeling independence is being willing to learn yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Being willing to take on new things that you haven't tried before. For me, that generally happens in my kitchen. Like, well, I've never made this before. I'm going to learn how to make it. And then spend some time learning to do that. Like, for instance, this did happen in my kitchen, though it wasn't food related. My husband and I, we've never tiled before, and we're remodeling our kitchen. We're episode on that coming up soon. We're almost done. We've never tiled before. And I just wanted this tiled backsplash. I was super excited about it, but we've never done it before. And we're like, well, I guess we'll just figure this out. And we did. And it really does look nice. We're very happy with how it turned out. But I think it's important that your kids see you try new stuff and being willing, honestly, being willing to fail.
Mm-hmm.
And the beginning of the tile was a learning process. We didn't fail at it, thankfully, because tile's expensive. Did you know that?
Yes.
being willing to say, okay, that isn't exactly what I want. Let's try it this way and see if we can figure it out, figure out a better way to do it, or whatever the project is you're taking on. But letting your kids see that you don't have it all figured out, because to them, it looks like we do most of the time. And so just being willing to be vulnerable, I guess, and letting them see that, you know, I'm not perfect either, and I'm still trying to figure all this stuff out too, and it's okay to try new stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Not just try new stuff, but figure out new stuff.
Yes.
I hope that I carry that across to them, because, I mean, everything that I do is, it has been new to me at one time. Trying to think of something in particular. Like the canning. I started canning lately, pressure canning. And I'm always a little afraid the thing's going to explode. So I always get out the directions and read them every single time I get it out, even though I'm doing it like every other day. And yeah, I just don't want to make any mistakes.
Right. I've been doing it for a couple of years and I still get out the little booklet every time because I want to make sure that I'm not going to mess it up, because I don't think it's going to explode, but I don't want to ruin my food. This is too much work to mess up.
Yeah, that's true. No, I'm still worried about it exploding more than I am about ruining the food. Perhaps my priorities will shift at some point, but right now I fear the thing more than I fear the food being ruined.
You'll get there.
I feel like there should be some kind of wall of protection, the way that when you're at the dentist and they take x-rays of your teeth, the tech goes running out of the room when they're clicking the button. Yeah, that's shooting radiation into your brain.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, that's how I feel about the pressure canner. Like, maybe a wall of protection would be something good.
A lead wall.
The thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Moving right along.
Yeah, not to get off on any kind of strange tangents that have nothing to do with our topic, but yeah, model that independent behavior.
The last thing that we wanted to cover was creating a nurturing environment that is okay to fail in. So if we go back to the bathroom, if Lauren had gone after her son and said, well, you just didn't do this right and you fail and you're doing it all wrong, you know, that obviously that's not in a nurturing environment, and that's something Lauren would ever do. I know this about her. But if she had done that for her son, or to her son, he wouldn't have felt like it was okay to fail. Instead, she handled it awesome, as she always does. She does.
Thank you.
She encouraged him to do a better job. And when the better job still wasn't to her standards, she still told him, you did well. And I already know that next time she will probably say something, don't forget to do this thing you missed last time. And I just about guarantee he will, because that's what he does.
He's attention to, well, he remembers everything. I wouldn't really say he has attention to detail. That's more my oldest, but he definitely remembers everything.
Yeah.
Okay, I can give him the list and he can remember all the points and she can execute them. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a team. Because we're a family. Right.
And between the two of them, you have a clean bathroom.
Exactly. Yeah. You both go in there. Don't talk to each other. No arguing. And yeah, clean that bathroom. I'm going to be out here playing with small plastic animals with your sister.
Don't come out till it's done. Anyway. Well, we hope you've enjoyed this little talk. Fostering independence is hard in the moment, but so rewarding once your kids have it down. Be patient with yourself and with them. Until next time.
Hey. Thanks for listening today. This has been the Wife Style Hustle podcast. That's WIFE style. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter so you never miss an episode.
Consider liking and reviewing our podcast wherever you listen. Share it with a friend. It really helps us out. Look for our new episodes every Monday and Wednesday. We'll see you soon.